This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, April 21st, 2008.
Hello, everyone. I would like to call the meeting in order. This is our last business meeting this year, academic year, and very happy I'm chairing it. So the first item on agenda will be approval of minutes. Please read our minutes. Our guest is also here, but we'll wait for her to set herself up. So please take a look at the minutes from last time. Any questions or corrections to the minute? Mario?
The only thing I would add is for the resolution, I think for at least two of them, I think we need to have what is actually done. For example, resolution number 9 regarding the GPSA executive designation, I think it should state at least, you know, that we're making the name that the secretary to vice president.
Okay, so basically we need more details about the minutes. Does it apply to all the resolutions?
It does for resolution number 8 in terms of the change of the beginning. I think that's the most important.
Are you talking resolution 8 and resolution 9?
Yeah, we just want for
some coverage on the
details. So we want to say, as the change of the beginning, and we want to say, secretary.
So maybe you can summarize a bit of the resolution in the content.
Well, what do we want to add into the minutes so that we can approve them at this meeting?
Oh, right,
this assembly?
Maybe, can you work on it now? Do you have a minute? Or
here, we can just give a sentence. So I add that in under line item 7, part A, resolution 8, after there was some more discussion, this resolution changed the pay and benefits committee to the student advocacy committee with future evaluation of this committee's role. And then under B, resolution 9, there was a motion to vote for the resolution. Just before that, this resolution changes the secretary designation to vice president for operations and the vice president designation to executive vice president. And then, were there other additions you wanted, Mario? Okay.
Any other comments on this?
Yeah, looking at resolution 12, it says, A. Cowan says this draft creates a new non-student operated organizational unit, a new category called non-student organization, called that, not actually creating any new organizational units.
Create a new category called.
You might also want to note that it sort of generally simplifies and clarifies the appendix A procedures. The way it's currently written, it sort of implies that the non-student operating organizational unit thing is the only thing that's
expected.
Do you
want me to add that
onto
it?
Generalize
and clarify.
Okay. And also, too, it would be helpful if it said what amendments were made to the approval. Are there any details that were built in?
Yeah, actually, we will post the final version of the resolution online.
Can I incorporate all the amendments into it?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, and especially if we could go back to the audio and find out what amendments were discussed in Resolution 12. I did not record those to incorporate into Resolution 12 because I expected that they would be in there.
Well, we will actually ask the originator to listen to the audio and make some changes, and then our note takers and corrections.
Is that available on the website?
It should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our resolution. They can change things, but it may not be our original intent.
Okay.
So I'll send an email to remind you guys. Okay, all those in favor to pass this minute with the reflectors? Old assembly members.
This is of the previous assembly, not the newly elected one.
You vote, Jennifer. You are a member of the
Rem. 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Any abstentions? No.
The minutes passed. Okay, we have a special guest today here, Dean of Graduate School, Jenny Powers, and she will talk about the update on GCI working group subcommittee or overall your message.
And basically, I'm here in large part to answer any questions you have, but let me just start by thanking those of you who are GPSA officers and participants this last year and welcoming the new ones. We really do appreciate all the time you put into this, both the officers and all the members. We know it takes a lot of time to participate, and we know we benefit from your participation and basically drawing our attention to things we should be paying attention to. So we do appreciate it. I also want to congratulate Mike Walsh for his election as student trustee. So we definitely look forward to the continued tradition of great representation on the Board of Trustees on the part of the graduate students, so that's really wonderful. And we know that that takes a lot of time as well, even more time probably than GPSA, and therefore we really appreciate it.
You're in trouble.
So you asked me to just come and update you on progress on the graduate community initiative. As you know, we've had this working group that's been going on throughout this past academic year. We're drawing to a close in this academic year. We're going to be presenting a report to the president on sort of what we've determined about the lay of the land on these various issues that came to us in the graduate vision for the graduate community, the vision statement for the graduate community initiative, and also what we've actually managed to accomplish this first year. I think. Did everyone get copies of the update?
You should have taken copies from...
And you may not have had a chance to read it yet, and I don't want to sort of belabor all the little points, but I do want to emphasize that I think that there really has been some progress over this year, and again, in large part due to the efforts of many people on the working group, including the graduate students. Brenda Wicks, who isn't here yet but will be here, our Assistant Dean for Student Life, has taken a huge amount of responsibility for trying to move these various pieces forward, and I really want to express my thanks from the graduate school and a recognition to her for all the effort she's put in to try and move, again, these various pieces forward. I'll just sort of say a few words about perhaps each of the issues that we dealt with so far in the graduate working group, the GCI working group. Career services being one place where I think we've actually made considerable progress. We don't yet have a freestanding career services office for graduate students except for the very small operation that we have in the graduate school, but what we have done is bring together people from all the offices in the various colleges at Cornell and especially at Career Services Central Office in Barnes Hall to come together to begin to provide better services and really a welcoming environment for graduate students. And so the short-term progress has essentially been to create this graduate career services team of people from, again, all the different colleges and the central office to be able to think through how they can better serve graduate students. We really think this is the right approach as opposed to sort of having this one little person in the graduate school trying to serve everybody's interests, distributing it across the university but in a coherent manner, we think is going to be the best option. And we will be working on various pieces, which include the newsletter for graduate students, specifically for graduate students on career services, various workshop offerings through Central Career Services, but specifically for graduate students, as well as opening up a lot of the activities they already have to clearly designate them for graduate students, which has not been necessarily the case in the past. We'll be doing some things to create a companion piece to the career services guide that is already available, and many parts of it do apply to graduate students, but we're actually going to have a separate companion piece which specifically is tailored for graduate students, and try and improve communications with graduate students from career services. You know, if you talk to people in career services, it turns out they say, well, of course we serve graduate students, but graduate students don't really know how they can be served. And so what we're trying to do is open up the lines of communication, make it clear to graduate students what's available to you and, you know, how will it serve your needs, and then make sure the communication goes back in the other direction as well to try and make sure that your needs are recognized and can be served. In the long term, there's a number of ideas that people on this subcommittee of the Graduate Community Initiative had about particular things like building additional library resources in the Career Center specifically for graduate students, developing a section of the website which is specifically for graduate students, that is the Career Services website, etc. So all those are essentially in the works, and also to put more emphasis in the workshop schedule to have workshops that are specifically for graduate students, including things like alumni panels, employer speakers, things like that, but tailored to directly to graduate students. The hope is that, and we're going to be putting this, I should say, it's not just a hope, we're going to put this recommendation forward to the president to actually hire a person that would coordinate all these things at Central Career Services, but coordinate all these activities. Brenda Wicks, as you probably know, has been sort of serving in this capacity in this minor way, but she can't do everything. And so the idea is to have a dedicated person that will do that and then actually also add some pieces of other people's time so that in the end, what we're hoping in the next 2 years, we'd be able to add two sort of full-time equivalents of people, one central person and then pieces of other people to really beef up the services for graduate students. So that's one thing that we're thinking is going to get off the ground fairly rapidly, actually, to try and serve graduate students much better in career services than we have historically done. I should say that in the Graduate Community Initiative, you know, one of the ideas is to have that office associated with the Graduate Center. I'll come to the Graduate Center, Community Center a little bit later, but I think for the moment we will plan on trying to build this through Central Career Services. So probably that would be the main location of that person, in part because they can take advantage of their library resources and grad students can come in and use those library resources as well. What we may want to do is have that person spend some hours a week in other locations if that makes it more convenient for students. It could be the grad school, which might be convenient for people on the Ag Quad, but not very convenient for people on the Arts Quad. So, you know, we'll have to think about what locations would serve people best, but we may be able to do that, have some hours out in other places in addition to the Career Center. So these are the things that the Career Services Subcommittee of the GCI have been working on this year. Moving on to housing, which, of course, is Mike Walsh's particular interest. There have been some small gains, I would say, in the housing area this year. In particular, some of the returning Hasbrook to graduate and professional student housing only, and the renovation of Thurston Court apartments, the reintegration of the postdoctoral population as part of the community at sort of a, it's always been a part of the community, but basically bringing it in recognized as part of that community. And then I think probably one of the most important things is bringing together this new planning group to bring in not just campus life, Hasbrook, Maplewood, whatever that future might be, but also off-campus housing, bringing everybody together to talk about the needs of graduate students. Because it's, you know, if we talk about Maplewood, we know it's going offline, and something's got to replace it. And the fact is that none of that's going to happen for at least another 5 years. And so there may be opportunities to partner with off-campus housing to actually develop some properties for graduate student housing off-campus, not as part of campus life, that might actually come online earlier. And real estate is involved in that, those kinds of discussions. So I think one of the real productive things that happened this year is bringing all those people together to talk specifically about graduate student. How do you meet the needs, you know, whether it's off-campus or on-campus, how do we sort of make the graduate student needs a stronger part of the portfolio of what Cornell thinks about in terms of housing and creating housing, whether it be off campus or on campus. There are a variety of sort of smaller issues, but I think that this main planning operation is going to be really important, and then the replacement of Maplewood is going to be really central. It's a relatively good location as long as we can keep bus service going after dark, for example. I think that we all think that that could be a great location for a new and improved housing development. And as you know, housing is also part of the campus master planning activity. Some of those are too far, the timeline on some of that is really too far out, and we're trying to bring it closer because you might know that there's sort of a potential planned complex up Tower Road that might include both a graduate community center and housing, initially planned to go over the labs, which we think is actually a bad idea, but the notion is that they're thinking of a complex which would include a graduate center and graduate housing, but the timeline, you know, they're talking 2020, something like that, or farther out, and that's really too far out, we think. And so we're trying to develop opportunities and ideas that could be accomplished sooner than that. And that's the goal of this committee that, again, is working both with campus planning and campus life, but also real estate and off-campus housing to try and figure out how we can best meet these needs. And again, I welcome any other comments from those of you who have been involved in this initiative, because I know that many of you have. The last subcommittee report that you got was from the Committee on Student Life and Programming. This is an area that, on the one hand, I think is fundamentally important to the graduate community initiative, and yet is a little harder to get real specific about. I mean, it's not like just saying, okay, well, we know we need housing and this is how we're going to accomplish it, or we know we need career services. It's, you know, what do you do to try and bring people together across the campus, these many, you know, thousands of graduate students? What are the opportunities for people to come together and share their experiences and come into an environment that's really welcoming when they get to Cornell? So there are a variety of options here. Actually, this committee was in place when the barn went down, and then the barn came back on, and so we know that through that, you know, what was really sort of this crisis, we did discover that the barn could partner with Campus Life and dining. You had the BRB at the Big Red Barn at Trillium, for example. And some of those, that site was very attractive to a lot of people. We got a lot of comments from people saying, wow, it's great to have some of these activities over in Trillium. There are other parts of campus that now have sort of said, oh yeah, I guess that would be feasible. We could do some activities elsewhere when we need bigger spaces than this allows, which is obviously limited. So in a sense, through that crisis period, we began to get more ideas and develop more partnerships for spaces and support that might allow people to put on more activities, to have larger activities than are allowed here. And we're hoping to keep that momentum going to allow more programming activities to try and serve the needs of students who say they want to build this stronger grad student community. They have put together a graduate and professional student services programming team with representatives from basically all over campus to try and although the list you have here may not, oh yeah, it has a few graduate students. We did talk about increasing the number of graduate students on that committee, but it's a commitment to be on another committee, and we recognize that. So, but it would be nice to have graduate students centrally involved in that, basically to make sure that we're hearing the needs from graduate students right now about what they would like to see in terms of programming. One of the things that's already going into effect is a more, not necessarily a bigger orientation programming, but joint planning of orientation with the professional schools and all the other orientation activities that occur around campus. So graduate students are part of all of that, and in fact, professional students are part of everything that happens with the graduate school's orientation. And again, this committee of people from all over campus will help to make that happen, I think, because all those activities will be shared and where feasible, where appropriate, obviously. Some orientation events might be specific to certain schools, for example, but we would try and bring things together as much as possible. Another development is planning for a graduate student activities fair, a benefits and resources fair for all graduate and professional students. You have the list in what you have, but there, again, I think one of the accomplishments is just bringing together a lot of people to start programming jointly and thinking about how can we use the resources that we already are using to serve as many students as possible. And so rather than having a lot of separate things, having things that are open to graduate and professional school students broadly and develop, put those resources together to try and develop more activities that meet the needs. There are a number of ideas here, and I welcome any feedback on any of those ideas that you think are particularly useful. And also, I would urge you, actually, in the case of all these subcommittees where you have the list of participants on the subcommittee, feed your ideas and comments and suggestions to those members of the committees, because they will be continuing their work. In many cases, they're forming permanent committees to try and develop these strategies further. So, feed any ideas or comments you have to those people so that they can hear what you're thinking. I want to come back to, as you might imagine, the Graduate Community Center, just to respond to the initiative or the resolution that you put forward to David Skorton, and recognizing that the Graduate Community Center is a really important issue, I think, and I think that is actually pretty generally acknowledged now in the administration. The difficulty is knowing exactly how to move forward to put it online in some way. We don't yet have identified either an existing building or $100 million to build a new building, so I can't really give you a final resolution on that, but I do actually want to say that I think it really is seriously in the minds now of the student life, of Susan Murphy and her groups, of David Skorton. I think he actually thinks that this is something that we need to do. And so the real question is, how do we accomplish it? And we don't yet have a clear sort of progression for accomplishing it, but we do think that it's important, and we are not going to just sit back and say, well, we don't have any money right now, so we'll wait. And yeah, the barn is now supposedly up for another 20 or 30 years, but you know, what we really learned from the barn going down is not just how great it is to have the barn, but also how the barn probably doesn't serve all the needs, and we really need to move forward, even with the barn in operation, to explore this big, you know, the bigger options and the bigger possibilities. I wanted to say one thing about, we had heard from several people that there was an interest in graduate students. When the barn went down, especially, many graduate students got very interested in trying to sort of help out with fundraising to build a center. And, you know, I have both positive and negative things to say about that. I mean, the negative is basically that there is currently a big capital campaign at Cornell going on. All those goals were set 5 years ago, and there's absolutely no way we're going to walk in and say, well, let's make our primary goal be the Graduate Community Center. So that, frankly, is not going to be possible in that way. However, I do want to emphasize that things happen all the time that are not supported by a capital campaign, and they do it when a capital campaign like the one that's going on now brings in extra unrestricted funds that might free up, you know, it's basically budget relief. It frees up things that are currently getting paid for, and it might actually be able to free up some money. I mean, as priorities become more important, like this has done, I think, there is hope that this could emerge on the list of capital projects with or without the campaign. The other thing I'll say, though, is that we have been talking to the development people that are out there asking for money all the time, and talking about how could graduate students who wanted to become involved get involved. And there are ways that graduate students can actually be active in helping to fundraise if that's what they're interested in doing. We have an annual fund for the graduate school, and there actually used to be a checkoff for the Big Red Barn. There is no longer a checkoff, but there could be funds designated specifically for a graduate center, whether it be the Big Red Barn or some future endeavor. I mean, that is something that grad students could be involved in trying to raise money for through that annual fund for the graduate school. And so we haven't worked out all the details of making sure that the money, you know, goes to that versus other things, but it can be done, actually, it sounds like. And we're talking to the development folks, the annual fund people, to try and find out, is there a mechanism for doing that, which would allow graduate students, if they wanted to, you know, to put out a fundraising letter from the graduates, as opposed to the kind that we put out from, actually, we have an alumni graduate student who, you know, he's been an alumni for many, many years now, so, you know, fairly senior person, that puts out an annual fund letter, but it isn't impossible that a student, you know, a collection of students could actually do that too. There are certain rules you have to follow if you're going to do that on behalf of Cornell, but it definitely is not impossible. And so we're exploring those options, and if there is an interest in that, again, we've heard this just sort of anecdotally that there's some interest, but if there's really a centralized interest in that on the part of a subcommittee or something like that of the GPSA, we would definitely try and work with you to make something that both feels satisfying to you to be part of and can fit into the large bureaucratic structure of Cornell Development Office. But it is not out of the question whatsoever. And so if you have enthusiasm for this, we would welcome that participation. Mike, did you have a question about that?
Do you know how much money those checkboxes brought in?
Not a whole lot. For the Big Red Barn?
Yeah.
And not a huge amount. But again, the Big Red Barn, it is some money, and, you know, the Big Red Barn wasn't in crisis at that moment, you know, and so, you know, I do think that this last year, with all the stuff that's been going on with the barn, not to mention the GCI and sort of raising the profile of what a graduate center could and should be, I think there might be options that would improve that fundraising effort somewhat, you know, and I actually believe that having graduate students involved might have some impact on that. That is current students. Again, we have a few alumni from the past that have been involved in that, but having current enthusiastic students involved, I think, could actually make a difference. Yeah.
I have a follow-up question on how funding works. My the professional schools usually, they probably have their own fundraisers.
Yes.
And there's the undergraduate colleges that have their fundraisers. So I wonder whether the graduate school itself has something as developed as that, or whether it tries to fit in somewhere.
Yeah, the graduate school has traditionally not done a lot of independent fundraising. I mean, we have this annual fund. We have a phone-a-thon. You know, there's a few relatively, small in contrast to other colleges at Cornell or the central fundraising. As part of the capital campaign, there are certain things that are in the capital campaign for the graduate school, but that's being done by the development office, not done within the graduate school. So, indeed, your comment is right. We don't, unlike Arts and Sciences, which has a huge development, office and activities, we don't have anything like that. And I can tell you, frankly, why that is. Traditionally, it was viewed that graduate students, and this is going to sound really crazy to you now, but traditionally graduate students were considered to be the future faculty, and therefore they were going to go out to faculty jobs and not make any money. So there wasn't any point in soliciting them for donations to their institutions. Well, everybody knows that not all graduate students become faculty, and faculty, it's true, don't make any money, but even people who don't make a lot of money, did they fool you? So even faculty do give to their institutions. They don't give as much as a founder of IBM or something like that, but they do give some small amounts. And so I think increasingly it's recognized that graduate student, that there is some reason to think about fundraising directly, from graduate students, but also for graduate students. So one of the things that's happened more recently is to even though maybe the primary fundraising target are previous undergraduates of the institution, talking to them about how important graduate students were for them as teachers, as colleagues in labs, et cetera, can be actually relatively effective. So just because it wasn't a graduate student doesn't mean they don't want to give to support graduate students in some way. So I think that the thinking is changing in that regard, but traditionally the idea was, you can't fundraise from graduate students, and so, or, from former graduate students. So, they didn't even, when I came into the deanship, they didn't even have a centralized list of graduate students, so you couldn't even send letters out because they didn't have a list of where they were and what they were doing. And so that's been improved a lot over the last 5 or 6 years. So, I think there are options there.
I also have a question regarding this graduate student involvement. Besides writing this letter, uh-huh. is there any way we can, for example, help give information for website construction? I don't know whether alumni do have a place to check out like the bigger bond and history and all those
creations. Yeah, that's an idea. We should think about that. I'm not sure where exactly we'd want to put that. They obviously have their own websites, and I have no control over what they put on their website, but there might be ways that we could put something up centrally or on the graduate school or GPSA or something like that, and then we can have a link to the annual fund. They have the mechanism for how to take the money from people. If you can do it online instantly with your Visa card, et cetera. So, in some ways, that's great for us, because if we had some messages that went out to people, say, link onto this to see the history of the Big Red Barn, link onto this if you want to make a donation, that might be a reasonably easy way to try and put the two pieces together, sort of the piece of the actual taking the money, which, they sort of have to do, but the ways that you link into that and what you tell them and, how you express that, I think is definitely something that could be developed. From the student and between the student and the graduate school, we ought to be able to develop something where that could work.
Yeah, because I feel sometimes donation is more emotional. If you just see a dry list and say graduate student need a center, that doesn't appeal anyone. If you see story and how people are attached to it and how it's currently not satisfying the need, that may be more complete.
Absolutely, and we talked when we were talking to the development folks
just about the possibility of, you know, you guys writing a letter, which could be an email letter, but that talks about just that, that is more, more personalized at some level, rather than just, okay, here's a checkbox for the big red barn, and, you know, maybe somebody that went to TGIF 5 years ago thinks, oh, good, but, you know, we would like to draw in more people than just that. Yeah. So, yep.
But I also add, I wasn't here, I don't know if it is a GTI working group report, but I need that as a whole and a task possible going forward as we work on honing our communication strategies and linkages between different fields and programs, that having GPSA feedback from the communications subcommittee, maybe from just interested parties, next year if you run somebody from marketing, for example, that might be interested in helping us flesh out some of those ideas. The grad school's made a commitment to have this virtual grad community center sort of nested in or housed on the grad school site.
Right.
But how that's going to evolve is still, you know, a work in process that we need to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great idea. Okay. It would be a really valuable way for GPSA to help us out.
I think, you know, if there is interest in the, particularly in the development side, the best thing to do would bring together a small group of people, and then talk to the person who runs the annual fund and kind of work out, okay, you know, what are the rules and regulations that we have to follow as part of the development effort that everybody at the university has to follow, and what are the goals of students and how can we put those things together to do something useful, you know? So, I would say, not now, it's the end of the year, but, you know, starting next fall, if there is a small group that's interested in this, we would welcome that participation and try and move something forward.
Yeah, that's the job of next leadership.
The next GPSA.
But I think we finally get our hands on the channel to money, so I'm sure people will be excited.
Yeah, I think there's potential there, I think so. So.
Questions about other items that I mentioned earlier about career services and housing?
I realize you haven't had a chance to digest these reports necessarily, some of you. So, you know, again, I just urge you to, if you have questions or suggestions, to feed them back. I mean, you can feed them through Brenda, through me, or specifically through people that are on those working groups. Well, Brenda's on everything, so Brenda always works because she has to put it on any, you know, she's on any committee that exists basically right now. But but
please don't ask me to be on
your new committee. Yeah, but in any case, I mean, you know, this isn't your only chance to ask the questions or provide the feedback. We really do want to hear from you, and even those of you who are going off the GPSA, we would like to, you know, keep you involved at whatever level that you're interested in being involved and hear your commentary. So.
Yeah, you can go off and make money and start donating.
Yeah, there you go. There's that too. Hopefully a few of you are graduating. I'm not sure.
Officer mentioned that just the three donations of $10,000 each, they would consider that a good start.
So, any further questions for Sunny? Okay, I guess if you have questions later, you can email to PSA at Cornell. Thank you, Sunny. You're welcome to stay for the later part, but we will reserve your
place. Yes.
Let's come back to our agenda. So next is open forum. Any item for open forum? Okay, you.
All right, most of you know me, but I'm Andy Cowan, former member of this assembly and vice chair of the Judicial Committee. And you, I think, all heard me yammer on at various points throughout the past 2 years about the campus code of conduct. I am happy to report that now the CJC has finished its work on the code of conduct again. So I'm going to tell you sort of what you've all, or maybe some of you have been waiting to hear about the three big issues that we were re-examining at the request of the president. Those three issues were access to counsel for the accused, standard of proof in hearings, and who would decide, who would have the final decision on penalties under the code. So the answer that we are proposing to the UA, and that the UA will consider at their meeting this Wednesday, is that the accused would still have full right to counsel wherever suspension or expulsion are on the table. In cases where suspension is off the table, which only rarely go to hearings in the first place, the accused could be fully represented by the judicial code counselor, which is an office in the law school, or could represent themselves but could not have an outside attorney. They could have an outside attorney sit and advise them but not actively represent them. Keeping the standard proof of clear and convincing evidence. And the third change is that penalty decisions only, not fact findings, but penalty decisions will be made appealable to the president by either party. This is sort of the result of a lot of back and forth and some very contentious meetings between the CJC and the president's senior staff. I think I summarized it to Amy earlier as something that nobody likes but everybody's willing to swallow. So that's the capsule summary of the result. If you want to hear more, I'm happy to talk to anybody offline, or you can come to the UN meeting on Wednesday.
Thank you, Anna. John?
One is that you mentioned that President Corp sent a letter appreciating our work on resolution number 7 with regard to community centers, saying that we try to put in three words, there's appreciation of our effort, then informing us that this barn is close to that for 20 to 30 years, and saying that this should allow a coherent vision and placement of the center in the master plan. Second, more importantly, at least because it's going to affect my life next Sunday, is that the funding, the GPSA is still looking for people to help out on the big funding. The big funding that to remind you is today, which we go through all the annual budget applications and decide who gets how much money. So currently there are 160 applications, and we are, I think we are 8 people right now, reviewing it. Mixed, but still, this would be, I think, not very few subscribers. In part, you can ask to reconsider whether you may have 4 hours to spare on Sunday, and that would turn out to be possibly forward. Now, we will give an introduction, a short introduction to the rules and how it works. There will also be lunch provided to the green card at 12 noon, and then hopefully we can.
Thank you. Okay. Just a couple announcements. We got an email saying there's an Earth Day celebration tomorrow. Probably among other celebrations, but this is a talk by a faculty person in chemistry, giving a talk on the chemistry of energy on West Campus at 7:30 p.m., if you're interested. And then second, I think an email actually went out over the listserv about this, but there's a tax meeting on Wednesday from 12:15 to 1:30. Sorry, that's transportation services, basically. And our current representative is not able to make this particular meeting, so if anybody's interested in filling in, I can give you the details on that. But basically, 12:15, Wednesday in 3:16 Day Hall. And lunch is provided. So, those are my 2 points.
Other items?
I have a couple other things. Okay. We're having another grad night out at Felicia's, so I'm going to pass these around. If you could just take a few and hang them up in your building or other places that you frequent. Thursday, 8 to 1, and discount drinks. And again, it's just a social activity to meet with other grads. And also, another thing that's happening on Thursday is that, well, Chris might be able to talk about this better. Do you want to announce it?
Courtney Kansas, the artist for the cartoonist that we're seeing at the time, is coming to show you on Thursday.
And that's at 8, correct?
That's it.
So you can go to that and then go to police.
Right. That would probably be an hour or 2 hours.
Since Mike was elected as the new trustee, would you like to say something? Like how you will work with GPSA in the next 2 years and work for graduate students? Thanks
we're
for us.
Here, you know,
no, you don't
that,
have to.
Celebration. And
we'll
party afterwards.
But do you have any commitment you want to make?
What?
No. Commitment to serve.
Before, as to one of the forms, it was, you know, stretched, drifting bodies who I think they should have played a big integral role in after election and serving that graduate students, you know, deserve this election. And I thank you all for your hard work with this. And your support throughout all of this. And, you know, I look forward to working with GPSA over the next few years what it's going to do to do that in a new role. So, and I hope that, you know, all the people I can hear run for a position in our new assembly next year, whether it be committee leadership or UA ship or UA position or something else. Get involved. I need your help.
Thank you, Mike. Sorry for putting you off. Next item on agenda, executive update. Okay. Well, this is also a kind of information for the SAO 5th Annual Student Organization Awards and Recognition Ceremony that we sent out emails about. Some of you may have made your nomination. They will have this ceremony tomorrow at 5 p.m. in Kennedy House Call Auditorium. A reception in Trillium Dining Hall will follow. So if you are interested in knowing who get the award, whether your candidate got it or just want to feel the atmosphere, or you want to get an award in the future year, you are welcome to come. If you want, I can give you details later.
It's free food.
Yes. Next item on the agenda, new business. Approval of university 5-year academic calendar. So it's in university charter or bylaws somewhere saying we have to approve, both SA and GPSA has to approve the 5-year academic calendar every year. We are approving from 2008 to 2013. It's on the back of this letter. If you haven't seen it, please take a look.
I have a comment on this, if I may. That I received over email, and that was that in the spring, the university gives 5 days off for spring break, and in the fall, we only get about 4 or 4.5, and so the suggestion was made that perhaps if the GPSA is interested, maybe make the recommendation that the day before Thanksgiving is given off completely rather than just a half day.
Well,
that is up for today. Up for discussion.
Well, how, yeah. Is the girl going to be responsive to that?
I don't know.
Well, yeah,
I think it's going to make the same recommendation,
I think.
I actually was
wondering
about the job.
I didn't know
if you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, the same suggestion to the essay, and I think that they'll probably also submit the same recommendation. But I mean, it just doesn't make sense because no one is here that day. Most professors handle their classes, and if they don't, then students skip them. I don't know what it's like for graduate students in PA. They can't have any students who have any students that they're talking to. It just doesn't make sense to like have classes for half a day
I will also point out, for what it's worth, that 4 years ago, the University of Iowa changed its academic calendar to give all of Thanksgiving week off, and that was entirely a student government initiative. And they did sort of this same, like, semester math and managed to persuade the provost there. So it wouldn't be the first time.
Chris?
I think, so your approach is the opposite. Instead of saying how many days are off, it doesn't matter how many days are off. It matters how many days are actually in class. And there's sort of that outcome. So what my advice would be is to count the days you have class and give back people, and then suggest, you know, take a chance day off, because that's what matters. It doesn't matter the amount of days you have off. It matters the amount of days you have in actual class.
But you guys lost.
So, the only thing I was supposed to add on to what Aiden said is if you start 12, you start 12 months on Thursday, class starts, if you want the whole week of Thanksgiving off, you should start that much before.
I think that's your reason. Can be challenging because a lot of the first day of the semester is important. A lot of people have to arrange their schedules accordingly. If you ask them to make it ready one day before, it may be difficult.
The impact on changing the start date would be pretty profound in just all over the university. Probably have better luck arguing to get an extra day off.
I suppose also if we want to put the calendar with some notes, do we have to write a resolution for it, or we just casually suggest?
I don't think we have to write a resolution. No. I would say we would reply to this letter, and if there is a recommendation from the assembly, then we would add that into your response.
So the past couple of years, we've basically rubber stamping this. The provost said it sent up, and it always comes to the last meeting, and we can come in a position, okay, this needs to be passed, you know, 5 years in advance according to our charter, but this is their last active meeting of the year. Now, I know the SA probably has 2 meetings, and they have time to consult with the provost over the next 2 weeks to do that. Do we want to kind of pass it now with a recommendation that in the future they consider this? Or do we want to kind of talk about it now and have an emergency session next week and all get together again?
Can we just drop a note saying we suggest this, but do we feel positive to improve this?
Well, technically, you've already approved last year you did 5 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, really, the only year that you've not approved technically is the last year.
2014.
So, probably anything that's going to happen is just going to happen for another 3 or 4 years. But you probably should start now. The next 4 years is already approved. You're going to make it better for that year.
So you will all be graduated by the time anything happens, right?
Yeah, so I think you do. It does just say review. It doesn't say pass. So I think you could say that we reviewed this and came up with a recommendation.
Okay, then we don't need to take a vote then.
I think you have a comment from the board.
Oh.
I would add to that letter for the reason that Mike mentioned, that if they could take into account that this is our last meeting, that for future years when we need to approve, or even if it's review, because obviously they want feedback, if they could get it to us, you know, a couple meetings in advance, we could review it and give meaningful feedback. To read the first portion of the charter that is pertinent. The provost will consult with the GPSA formulation of the university calendar. The GPSA may review and ask for reconsideration of the calendar before it becomes final. In addition, the GPSA may propose changes to the calendar of the provost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we just have two notes to the provost. when we reply this email. I guess that will really go well. The second is approval of GPSA calendar next year. That is the one page list that you see.
One motion to add another assembly meeting in at August. Well, is there any reason why there's no August meeting there?
We can't vote anything, but we can still have the officer training or something. Organize it ourselves.
Okay.
Do people want to do that? Just have something at the end of August for GPSA assembly?
So kind of like an informal meeting.
Right, to familiarize people and set goals for the year and stuff like that. That's what we do for the first meeting anyway. What time is that?
They always have orientation events for the first week of class. There will be class starting 28, so it will be the first 2 or 3 days before that.
Oh. So that will be
August 5th. I'm very interested, just send that email. I mean, for an audit, hopefully that's before tomorrow.
The
grad
school
So should we set this date next semester? But that will be too much in a hurry. Maybe we can email over the coordinator informal meeting, of course, for the beginning of the year.
Maybe we should do more. Or you should do more. The event chair should work with the executive next year. Do more of a retreat / informal meeting very early on, and then go back home.
Yeah. Last year we did a retreat between two assembly meetings. This year we can just make it the very first one before any meeting. And that will be in August. Okay, with this note, any other questions about our calendar? Do we need to take a vote?
I make a motion to approve the meeting dates for next year.
Any objections? Okay, our calendar was approved. Next item on agenda, Big Red Barn landscape modification from Michelle.
Okay, so I sent out an email, I think over the weekend? Yeah, yesterday, perhaps. About, I had a meeting with Jennifer Sika, who is the director of the grounds for the university, and we talked about how they envision re-landscaping the north side of the barn on this side. And so in that email, I hope you're able to read it, but they talked about a couple points they've already addressed. Oh, it's on the back. Excellent. Okay. So we'll pass these out. So he talked about a couple points of things they've already done or are in progress of doing, and then a few points below that of ideas that they've kind of sketched out. And then on the front, this is just a schematic of one of those points they're envisioning doing. So please take one and pass them around. But basically, as you're passing those out, I'll just kind of summarize some of these points. So things that they've done, they've replaced the old fence there in the back on the east side so that it matches other fences here in the 80 White Lawn area. And they've ordered a metal decorative fence to put along the walkway there so that people won't be walking through the flower bed. And what they hope is that they will re-landscape the flower beds there and make them more attractive. So the front is a picture of some screening that they want to put around the dumpster in the side just to kind of hide that. And I think one of the major points that they are discussing is getting rid of the patio, or excuse me, the barbecue structure here and the barbecue itself, and doing something with this side of the building, like putting in a patio like what's on this side. And they asked me the frequency of use for this, and I referred them to Chris because that's something that I don't know about, and so hopefully they'll be in touch with Chris, but she's here. And I just wanted to have a short little discussion and see if anybody had thoughts on these proposed ideas, or if you have other thoughts of your own for this space.
I talked to a bunch of people in the last couple of weeks. I asked, and everybody wants more seating, especially over here. But I don't know necessarily that they want to see like a concrete seating. It doesn't have to be a patio. I kind of like the grass. Some people just say the grass is much nicer than having to be patio.
Okay.
And a lot of people just said something that they would like that. I don't know if they have any good ideas.
Just to follow up, if I may, and then Andy. The point about more seating but with grass. So these picnic tables, Grounds doesn't even know where they came from. So I don't know. Okay. Okay. And the one comment that they made regarding the picnic tables, they understand that people love, that they get obviously get used. But it's just difficult for them when it comes to mowing the lawn because they always have to move them. And so probably if they put more seating, they wouldn't necessarily put it on grass. That's just, I don't know, I'm kind of making an assumption right there, but I think that's...
Do they have suggestions for seating that is easy to mow around?
Can they put little islands and put tables on?
Well, that could be an option. I didn't, I thought about that, but...
Like some patio because then they don't have to.
Yeah, I know. It sounds funny, but it's probably the point.
I mean, they have to do that all over campus. Well, first of all, I want to say I appreciate the pictures from the first I've seen of them.
Yeah.
And what I don't appreciate is that they have moved the dumpster right outside my office window.
Okay. There are two schematics. So I don't know which one you have.
Yeah, but the location is still the same.
It's still the same.
Yeah,
okay.
It's from
different angles.
I just emailed Selena and Devin. Okay. I really need to talk to you before we pass.
Okay. Okay.
Is it possible to make it upstairs like to the because they sort of not in a very good location. Like people always stand around them because naturals and gather in the area. So it would be nice to have, you know, a connected piece of grass, like if you could get rid of them and put it just, you know, somewhere else.
it doesn't make sense. The reason that they're there is because that's the exit door from the kitchen, and that's where most people are shown. So if you move them further, you know, it's not practical. And there also needs to be a place where the garbage truck can pull up and dump it. So that location, I don't think is going to change. I mean, what they did was they moved it a lot further up, and I think they could keep the lot a little bit less. But that location is basically
the location. Are there dumpsters in this space back here? And are they?
Yeah. Over by the other building.
Could they be used by the barn?
But then how
do you
get your garbage over there?
I mean, how many kilograms of garbage?
I think that there are actually regulations about how far it should be.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I've been watching.
Okay.
Can I voice my concern?
Yeah, of course. And I was going to, if you weren't here, but please.
My concern is that Grounds is doing this without any conversation about the centralized university planning related to potential expansion of the barn or addition onto the barn. What I don't want us to get into is, oh yeah, it'd be great. I'd love to see, you know, I'd love to see the grill thing taken out and that being expanded and used for an outdoor pavilion. And I'd love to see all of this, anything to make the ground prettier. But then they're going to tell us, oh, well, we put $1 million into renovating the barn and we could put $1 million into landscaping. So it's not a good idea to then tear up the landscaping to build an addition. So we want to move back to the athletic field. For your graduate community.
Right.
I just don't want that. The decision to make this a prettier place with sort of bragging or a period on the idea of expanding the farm into a graduate community center. However, that does not concern you guys. You don't have to vocalize it. I'm going to vocalize it.
Yes.
I just want to share it with you.
Yeah.
I think that we can talk about this with SANE and the GCI working group to make them aware this is a temporary fix, and they shouldn't take that into account when they postpone our further plan.
But the question, I understand the concern. The question is, what do we really gain? I mean, if we gain, like, it looks a little bit prettier and we have some tables more, but then they're going to tell us that it costs $2 million and then we want to take investment. I'm not sure whether we can.
I mean, just a point on the cost, I don't think they would ever spend that much money anyway. I mean, they were saying $50,000, which is a drop in the bucket.
Right. And I think if we keep the garbage covering, it's been an issue for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And we had a loan to bring it up that was, you know, an eyesore and it was horrible. It was having to stay out there. It is terrible. And I've been bringing it up and I've been doing that here. And then we had a loan that we brought it up. That's when it started happening. So, I mean, that can happen. Out the patio and all that stuff, and if they just want to take the barbecue to out, you know, keep that in the patio, and that can certainly, you know, the patio and everything in that stage area or whatever. But I think, I mean, I agree with Brenda that, you know, if they start getting the big bucks, they can just do the same well.
Right.
But I think they can make it look nice without getting the big bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I think so too. And I think that the whole fencing thing, like you said, that's been an issue, and I think that has to get done whether you're going to redo the barn or not.
Right.
So the cost of that should be figured into, oh, well, we spent all this money re-landscaping, we're not going to expand.
Right.
So I think, honestly, I think they're looking to just move on something quickly. They're not going to spend a lot of money. But they do want to make it look nicer. And I think that they just wanted to know what our opinions were on that and if we had other ideas. So.
But I think it would focus us to at least make our know that.
Sure. And I mean, this is something we can draft a resolution on, but not until next year. I just wanted some quick feedback since this is the last meeting of the year. And I think they want to do some things over the summer, at least put in the fence and maybe redo some of the flower beds at least. So Are there any other just quick ideas? Sorry, Andy.
Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to say, regarding this thing here, I certainly have never seen the barbecue pit get used. And irrespective of whether the pit stays or not, the structure is really kind of dark and dismal. So I saw there was a mention on this of potentially putting in some sort of trellis-like structure. And I think that, you know, might be able to be done fairly easily. Just take up this structure and put something a little bit more open and sunny down in its place.
Yep. Okay. Are there any other comments? Yeah.
This is actually a really point that I think we brought is very nice. It is very, very nice. It is not complete. So if they were to do anything with the feeding of the summer, this is a disappointment to say it's made of concrete.
Thank you. Agreed.
Okay. Okay.
I served that for astronomy. We usually eat our lunches out.
Okay.
We like having the ground chicken.
Okay. I will be
and
sure.
And it's also nice when it gets too fresh that people are just missing.
Right. Right. Great. Are there any other comments? I will be sure to reiterate those things that were emphasized around cost and grass and.
And I think we should also report this back to the GTI working group and whatever regarding university administration, because this is another example of decentralized planning in Cornell. Yeah, I'm afraid they are not aware. So next item on agenda is about College Town Vision. Edward Strong. Here. Yeah.
So, I guess I'm the last thing, but I'll make sure that I think it's kind of exciting. Probably don't know, but there's a couple different committees that are examining the future of college now. And I'll be happy to get that. We're sitting on a couple of them, in particular, the College Town Vision Implementation Committee. They're sort of excited with the task of communicating with the consultants out of Austin that they hired to examine the sort of a master plan for college town. College town has received much recognition from the city or cooperation from Cornell for a number of reasons for many years. So they both consultants were hired sort of examined. Basically, tomorrow the consultants are going to present a draft at a meeting in college town in preparation for a final plan that they're going to present beginning of next month. So we would say the draft is going to be somewhat a complete final plan. The exciting thing is, thanks to Kate, we were able to organize, or Kate organized, and I brought in Mike and Nick and a few other guys who have linked to college having. We got to personally meet with the consultants and express how gratitude for very much like to live in college having, because it's close to our campus. We like to have the access. Having those restaurants and things would be very nice, but it's just prohibitive in many ways to us. Notably parking, transportation, and cost. So the consultants actually really took this to heart, and we've seen some sort of draft of the draft that they're going to present tomorrow. And they definitely are taking graduate students' concerns into the plan. Notably, it seems apparent that the lower half of the Linden is sort of, so the idea is that they want to transition college town both to accommodate to be a good place for undergrad, but accommodate more year-round residents and sort of the spring vibe of college town. And so the lower half of Linden, they want to, just apparently they're going to propose is to encourage both families, but also senior faculty, grad students, and staff in a way to make that a friendly environment for them to rent apartments down there and displace some of those undergrads more to the central part of college town. Also, the majority of any street seems to likely have proposals both for direct CU involvement in those buildings, but definitely to encourage graduate students, faculty, senior faculty, and staff to both rent. And there was at least a suggestion that maybe something would be turned into purchasable condos. Again, there's sort of a subject to what may come out in the final draft. And all this still has to be sort of vetted through the city. But needless to say, graduate student may very well have a future in college, now maybe not in our time here, but for future graduate students, it would be a very friendly environment. And they're re-examining the whole plan for the parking, the transportation, everything that was promoted to the city. The important thing right now, I think, is that we really show sort of like a support for this. That yes, graduate students could be very successful in college campus if it were a friendly environment. I've spoken with some people that have expressed interest in college town, and if there's anybody that would like to go to this meeting, see what these plans are, I want to make we'll keep your input, but also state that yes, graduate students would like to be involved in the process. Show the city, yes, the city, if you do these things that we're proposing to our proposals, some of them are going to be distasteful to some people in the common council and the planning initiative. But show if you do this, we can really cause kind of more vibrant space for everybody involved. So if anybody is interested in getting more details as far as specifics, or coming to see the meeting, the presentation tomorrow, go into the public, just talk to me and I can tell you exactly what the location is. The more of us there, the better. We can show some of the things.
Thank you, Edward. I guess further comments can be directed to him. I'm sorry. Ed, what's your email?
GRF37.
And it just that one more time, too. I think it'll be really important. This is also going to come back in May for a public presentation. And so I think it would be great to have this there for any time. I mean, it is public, so don't mind anyone. But it's, you know, it's public meeting. But to definitely really talk to all those things. So this is going to be your last opportunity.
We can forward that if you send it to us.
Yeah, I'll forward it.
Okay, with all the items covered, I announce this meeting adjourned. And the next step is our...
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.